You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's happening, party people? Hour number two, VSiN's Primetime Action, live from the South Point Hotel Casino, Vegas, the place to be this weekend. Once again, with the Raiders game, EDC. Oh, yeah. Kelly going to have himself a night. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. Hope you are enjoying sports and your bets look like they're going to be winners, at least at this point. Of course, baseball begins in about 7 minutes, so we wanted to just remind, if you wanted to get in baseball bets, it is happening at Houston at Minute Maid, Game 6. Astros up 3-2, a possible closeout tonight. Opportunity for the Astros. Red Sox will have something to say about that, though. Nathan Eovaldi on the hill for the Sox. And Luis Garcia gets the nod for your Houston Astros, man.
Schwarber, Hernandez, Devers, Bogarts, Martinez, Verdugo, Arroyo, Renfro, and Plawecki on for the 1-9 there for Boston. On the Houston side of things, Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez, Correa, Tucker, Gurriel, McCormick, and Maldonado. And really, you look down this Astros lineup, and really only Martin Maldonado has been the only guy that hasn't really contributed in the postseason. All of these guys have been swinging really, really hot bats over the course of the entire postseason. And, you know, again, it's one of those interesting things tonight is, you know, Eovaldi, pretty good season, pretty good pitcher. They're going to be able to continue on with that. As we sit right now at DraftKings, -120 on the Astros, even money on the Red Sox. We got a total of 9 shaded to the over. The under, you're getting even money on. The run line, +155 if you want the Red Sox at minus a run and a half, -180 if you want the Astros at plus a run and a half. And then look at these player props, Gil, which were pretty interesting, right? Like this is one of those where, again, how long do you think these pitchers are going to pitch? Because this is, with it being an elimination game for the Red Sox, we're seeing some big adjustments here because obviously Eovaldi gets in any sort of trouble, they're probably going to get him out of there rapidly.
All hands on deck.
Yeah. It is only 3.5 for Eovaldi is his strikeout prop tonight, right? And so
that tells you,
by traditional projection systems, if you went off of his yearly numbers and what he averages per start and all things like that, like you'd have him like right at 6, right? It's like it kind of comes in like 5.95 or something like that. So you're really looking at a huge adjustment here because of the game and the situation. If you believe Eovaldi goes in and has himself a night, then this is a no-brainer over, right? Like a 10 out of, like, if you were ranking prop bets on a scale of 1 to 10, this would be a 10 if you think he's...
I mean, here are his last, what is this, last 9 or 10 of the regular season? These are strikeout totals. 10, 6, 7, 7, 9, 8, 9, 8,
yeah.
0, 7. But yeah, all of them, yeah, with the exception of that one. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, without exception. So, like, literally, if you think he has just anywhere close to a normal start, then this would be a level 10 type prop for you, you know? Because, I mean, it's just so incredibly low for a guy like him to have a 3.5 on a strikeout total. But if you think this Astros lineup gets to him early tonight, well, then, you know, then this is just not a bet. I would still pass. This would be an over or pass type play, right? I don't think you want to come in on the under on a 3.5, because even a guy like Eovaldi, even if he had, let's say he even does get roughed up, Gil, like it's not crazy for him to have 4 strikeouts in 2 2/3 before he gets pulled, you know? So I think it's an over or pass type situation for that. And certainly I think it's a pretty strong overlook. I can't imagine him getting pulled before 3 and some change, unless this Astros team just really, really goes off on him.
I think if I made any bet, I would actually go Red Sox first 5 on Eovaldi and lay the -119 on that. I don't want to jinx your bet, though, because I know you got Astros futures here. By the way, here are your adjusted series prices now, with both series at 3-2 through 5 games in the AL. You can get the Red Sox at +340 to come back and win the last 2 games of this series, +340. The Dodgers got off the schneid in a big way last night. They just absolutely opened up a can. Chris Taylor, 3
can
home
of
runs. What
would they open a can of, Gil?
String beans. three homers for Chris Taylor. 2 homers for A.J. Pollock. They're responsible for 10 of the Dodgers' 11 RBI last night in the Dodgers' win against the Braves. Dodgers +190 to win 2 straight games.
Yeah, kind of a difference there between the 2 series.
Kind
right?
of.
3-2, both of them. Yeah, kind of a difference.
Dodgers got Scherzer going in game 6. That has a lot to do with it.
What are we going to do with, I mean, listen, we've got to do our home run thing. I mean, this is what we did it the other night. Yeah. Kelly Did you win? You won the other when we did this the other night, didn't you?
There's so many rules I can't keep up
Good
with.
Lord,
the rules?
What chapter is this?
We can make up new rules every night. It doesn't matter. No one remembers what our rules are. We're the only ones that remember what our rules are.
I didn't know we did this for home runs. I thought we just did this for football.
Oh, I thought we did home runs the other night. Did we not do one for home runs the other night?
I think
I asked Paul Spohr if he had to bet one what his
Yes, would be. You did. You asked Paul Spohr. That's what it was.
He had to bet one what he would pick.
All right, I'll give you one, though.
I'm with it. Rafael Devers is going deep.
I'm going with Altuve plus 400.
That's a good call. Yeah. I'm going Yordan Alvarez.
Yordan Alvarez.
Not in the lineup?
Is.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm changing my mind.
3-1 on
Kike Hernandez.
Bomb tonight.
Plus 400.
You're going Kike?
Going Kike.
Yordan is my guy. All right.
Kike 4-1.
By the way, is this part of – is this, are we doing the $20
thing? Let's do it. Might as well.
Might as well.
This isn't the carryover from the other one, though.
Oh, I don't know. Rules?
No, expert? No.
Fresh one?
Separate categories.
These are separate pools. Separate categories. This one's 20. Yeah, no roll over here.
Yeah, there's big money on the line come Monday night.
People should know our first touchdown thing is a skin situation.
Skins type game. Yeah.
It's a rollover. Oh. This thing could get up to thousands and thousands of dollars.
I mean, I don't know about that, but it could get up to hundreds. It could easily get up to hundreds.
I'm switching mine, Bregman.
I don't know if that mathematics works out, but okay.
I'm switching mine, Bregman. I don't want to be rooting for a Red Sox to hit a home run when I'm trying to get this thing. I'm switching mine.
All right, let's go around the circle one more time.
Bregman.
Okay. Alvarez.
Bregman, Yordan Alvarez.
And I'm on Kike Hernandez.
And you're on Kike Hernandez.
Nathan Eovaldi with a 2.79 fielding independent this year. Really, really good. He did hold, hitters hit on him, though. 252 opposing batting average, as opposed to Luis Garcia, the opposing batting average, 228 against him. But Eovaldi really got the unfortunate BABIP, 326. Mm-hmm. That didn't go his way. The strand rate somewhat low, had trouble keeping runners from getting to the promised land, from getting home in innings. Had a pretty low strand rate. Strand rate's a little higher than that typically on average. So he had a couple bugaboos, Eovaldi did, but really the one ace of this series. And we shall see. Game starts in about a minute. Kelly, let's update it. Oh, you want to
over 12? Yeah, over 12% swinging strikes as well. So that's another, like you can tell, that's another thing. Just to let you know that the guy's stuff was good as well. I mean, whenever you're getting that type of rate on swinging strikes, like Eovaldi had good stuff all year long. So it's not going to be easy for the Astros to get it home tonight. That being said, after Alex Bregman hits four home runs tonight, and I go ahead and win our little pool and all the things like that, then there we have it. There we have it.
Kelly, we should probably update everything going on.
Yeah, we'll start first with the NBA action. The Wizards are on top of the Pacers. I don't like that. It is 65-60, 220 remaining in the first half. The Wizards, a 3.5-point live favorite. So if you wanted to tail along with me, now you can get a much better number, +3.5 on the Pacers, 248.5, your live total in this game. We've got some pretty big performances so far. Domantas Sabonis, 14.6 rebounds in the first half. Miles Turner with 21 points in the first half.
Wow.
He might be, if this Pacers team goes south, he will be, he's going to be putting on an exhibition to be traded all season long. So keep your eye on that one. Spencer Dinwiddie with 18 points and 4 assists on the Wizards side of things. So some standout performances going on in that game.
Bertans with 11 as well. Bertans.
Davisa Bertans. Cavs up on the Hornets at half, 59-54. Live numbers on that game. Cavs -2.5 and 224.5.
Kelly Oubre was 17 at half.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. The Knicks, check out this score, 65-35 on the road in Orlando.
The reason I knew all these box scores was reading these offense because I was like, oh, wow, they got 65. Julius Randle must have had a massive half. 7 points.
7 points?
7 points. They have 65 at half. Julius Randle has 7.
Man. Okay. Live numbers. If you wanted to get in, you'd get 26.5 points with the Magic. 203.5 is the live total.
What is going on with these blowouts in the NBA the first few nights of the season?
But the blowouts, the injuries, it's weird. It's why Matt and I have said for the past week and a half, it's not why. It's still weird. But part of the reason we like to give it a couple weeks, let us get some data, let us see these teams a little bit, because I think that Magic team this year could be not bad, real bad.
They're down by 30 at the half. This on the heels of some, you know, a couple blowouts last night that were ridiculous.
I also think that, like, I mean, Tibbs is a different kind of guy, man. Like, it's like you don't play hard for Tibbs every night. Yeah. Like, you're on the bench. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the regular season, the playoffs, the preseason. You're going to play 46 minutes, and you're going to play your heart out.
We're on the way to our, what was it, 72 point? What was it that last preseason game that we watched?
Right,
we're on the road right now.
Well, that preseason game we watched, they
lost by 68 points.
They lost by 69. Yeah, they were down 70 at one point late.
It's wild. Anyways, we got Raptors Celtics. That is all tied up 23 apiece right about the end of the first quarter.
Wasn't that the Magic's too? The Magic too?
I think it was the Magic.
That was the Mavericks and somebody. Pretty sure it was the Mavericks.
I don't think you're right. Let's check on that.
Anyways, Celtics 6.5 live.
Just read the scores.
207.5 is the live total. The Sixers leading the Nets end of the first quarter 34-28. The Sixers are a 3.5 point live favorite. 229.5 is your live total. Let's see. Let's go to the college football next. Middle Tennessee all over UConn 24-13. 8:30 remaining in the third. UCF on top of Memphis, 14-7, 5 minutes remaining in the first half. UCF, a 6-point live favorite, 57.5, your live total. On the ice, a couple games in action. Sharks up on the Maple Leafs, 4-2, 12.5 minutes left in the second period. Sabres, 14-1 live right now.
I'm sorry, it was the Hornets who lost to the Mavericks by 68.
$20, $20, pay it up.
No, it was the Hornets. That's how that works.
It was the Hornets. You said it was the Mavs.
As Mavericks.
No, it was the
Mavericks won.
But they were a part of the game.
You guys
didn't give the opponent.
Part of the game.
That's not what we're talking about.
Part of the game. We'll come back.
We'll be back.
NFL Week 7 continues. Beasts primetime action.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on VSiN's primetime action, where soon we will do off-air stuff on VSiN.
The plus plus.
The plus plus.
We'll the do double plus.
Yeah, we'll just do what we talk about off-air. It'll be fun.
It would be awesome.
People would love it.
They'd love it.
We would last long.
It's a different brand, but yeah.
It's very different.
It's all the secret bets get talked about. That's where all the secret bets get
secret
talked about.
Secret bets. Our premier darts place?
Yes. Behind the paywall, secret bets.
Panthers at Giants also Sunday morning. What do you make of this game? Good Lord. Is this part? Did somebody go with a pick in this game? In our contest entry,
you know what's funny? No, unless I did, and I don't remember if I did or not.
Unless I did.
It was on my short list of like 8. Did you guys not have that same problem this week? Of like, I guess I could play these 7 or 8 sides, but I don't like any of them.
What do you got here? Injury report.
Saquon
out.
Saquon's out. Kadarius Toney's out. And Kenny Galladay are all out. And then they've got a couple of the other receivers in Shepard and Slayton that are both questionable as well. I mean, it could just be a complete and utter nightmare for the Giants this week when it comes to injuries, which is why, I mean, listen, I'll admit I had a lean to the Panthers, even though I have no confidence really in this team anymore. But look,
me either.
There comes a point when you have just absolutely no playmakers whatsoever that a middling team, which again, I think if we power rated one, like we do top 10 everywhere, if we went 1-32, the Panthers would fall somewhere in that between whatever, 15-19,
whatever,
15-20-ish range or something like that. You've got like a middling team where the Giants would obviously fall somewhere in that bottom 5, bottom 6 range. And that's when they're all healthy. Now you have literally every single person that could possibly do anything for this team, either definitely out or questionable to play in this game. So it's just, it's really, really, really crazy. I mean, there is a couple of injuries on the Panthers side of things. Terrace Marshall is out with a concussion for them. And then Cam Irving, their offensive tackle, is questionable. So there's at least a couple of injuries there.
I might just play the under and hold my nose. Like you said, we've seen this Carolina team struggling There's nothing really there to be inspired by offensively. Their defense has at least played well for the majority of the season. And what are the Giants going to do? Daniel Jones has to have one of these games where he runs for like 50 or 60 yards or something. Where's this offense coming
from? Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, look, and there's still a 43, kind of a rogue 43 available out there from a total standpoint. I mean, you do look at that, Kelly, and start to wonder, I mean, where do the points come from? I mean, the one thing that the Panthers' defense, even though they have slacked off over the last couple of weeks, the one thing that they are still doing well is getting to the quarterback. Like, they're still one up at the top of the league in pass rush win rate. They're the number one overall team, actually, still in pass rush win rate in the league. Pressure rate, they're third overall as well. So, I mean, they're going to get after Daniel Jones. And then if you look at where this offensive line has been a real – and listen, the one good offensive lineman, Andrew Thomas, that they had to put on IR. So, like, he's not there for the Giants either. So, they're already 27th pass block win rate, going up against the number one pass rush win rate team. And now he has, like, who's he going to throw to when he's under pressure, when he's got all this other stuff going on. So, I mean, I'd admit, if I had to play this on a side – I'd lean to the Panthers, and I will be honest with you. This is one of the games I had circled for the injury report come 90 minutes before kickoff, because I'm going to, if this thing goes real south for the Giants from an injury report.
I mean, Ingram, Shepard, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of questionable. That's everybody. If those guys are out, that's a whole
offense.
If it
goes real south, I will hold my nose and play the Panthers. And I understand, like, look, the Panthers offense leaves nothing to be desired. Like, it's nothing that you really want to play, and they've been pretty terrible here lately as well. But I will take their bad offense that at least has playmakers against a bad offense that has no playmakers, and then hope that their defense can do just enough to go ahead and get this thing done at a field goal. So, yeah, this is one of the injury reports I'm going to be watching really, really hot and heavy 90 minutes before the before kickoff.
This is comical.
Yeah.
Like, five wideouts, so either out or questionable. Tony Golladay, Shepard, Slayton, and Ross.
I mean, it's
you can't make
Saquon's
this up.
Out.
I mean,
Saquon's
every
out.
One of their playmakers. Yeah. Every
Ingram,
one of them.
Questionable. God. You're right.
I'm betting the under 43.
So, and how will this affect? You're right, Kelly. You brought up the right question. How will this affect Daniel Jones' props? Like, if nobody's in there, I mean, on the one hand, you could scheme against it, right? You'd be like, we're not letting you run, throw, beat us via the air.
You just keep a spy on him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it feels like if they don't do that, it feels like, what was the game that Sam Darnold rushed for like a ton of yardage? It feels like it could be that exact same way for the Giants. Like, Daniel Jones, like, if you don't see anything, take off.
Yeah, I Kelly, you bring up that under though. I mean, even at 43, I understand that it's a low total in today's NFL, but like,
where's it coming from?
There's a lot of ways this thing goes under. There's a lot of ways this thing goes under.
Bengals at Ravens. I called the Chiefs-Titans probably the best game of the weekend. It was pretty good, too. Bengals at Ravens, a AFC North clash. You're a big Bengals guy. Ravens favored now by just 6 in this game. They have some knick-knack injuries as well.
Yeah, so right now, I mean, this is we are seeing this a lot more, and this is really interesting for us, because we've seen this like morph over the last year. So it's 6.5 across the board, rest of country. Like, they're in a 6 to be found, and then you can find 6. There are multiple 6s here in Las Vegas. So fairly interesting. There was apparently some support here in Vegas on the Bengals, and then 6.5 across the rest of the country. 46.5 your total there. On the Ravens side of things, Bengals injury report, no starters or anything like that, so nothing to really be worried about. But on the Ravens side of things, Sammy Watkins, Latavius Murray are both out. Then Alejandro Villanueva and Bradley Bozeman, they're both starting offensive linemen. They are both questionable for this game. Linebacker Patrick Queen, also questionable for this game for the Ravens. So the big thing here is, you know, do you honestly believe in what you've seen so far out of Joe Burrow and company on the offensive side of the ball? And do you believe what you've seen from this new look defense on the defensive side of the ball? There are a lot of people out there, Gil. I listen to a lot of smart people. You know, our frequent guest on here, Drew Densick, being one of them, who believes that this is not what you actually are getting with this team. He thinks there is smoke and mirrors involved with what we've gotten so far from Cincinnati, and that very well could be the case and get proven here. That being said, if you really look at what this Baltimore team does well and what they want to do and that is blitz the hell out of you. They're fifth overall in the NFL in blitz rate, and that is, and I keep bringing this up, they're fifth overall in blitz rate in the NFL, and that was when they only blitzed Patrick Mahomes twice because they schemed it to where they didn't want to blitz Patrick Mahomes twice. So they would be, by far be the most blitz-happy team in the NFL had they played a normal game against the Chiefs, but that's just how they schemed it and didn't want to do it. So again, still fifth most in the NFL so far, despite the fact that they had a game where they really didn't blitz at all. And you have this, then you have this Bengals offensive line, for whatever reason. I mean, look, they did make a couple of investments, and some of these guys got older and more mature. It's not one of the worst offensive lines in the league anymore. And not only that, as far as pressure rate so far for Joe Burrow, it's only 13th. They're 13th best. Like, they're in the upper half of the NFL as far as pressure rate allowed on Joe Burrow so far. Now, this is really going to be a test this week because they're going to get blitzes from all over the place. Can they pick those things up? Where are they going to get, you know, what are they going to do when the Ravens are coming from every single angle? Because we definitely know that that's what they're going to do. I mean, if you look back to last year, and you have to think they're going to look back to last year on this tape, because if you guys, I don't know if you guys remember this game from last year, but this was the, oh my God, I remember us coming in after this game last year and us going, Joe Burrow's not going to make it through the season. This was right. The one where he was pressured on 49% of his drops. So literally every other drop back, sacked seven times last year.
He's brutal.
Against this Ravens team. And you have to think that that is the tape that they have watched over and over and over and over again. So we can never allow this to happen again. You cannot have a successful offense if your quarterback every other time he drops back is getting pressured. There's no way that you can run an offense here. So I think that there's going to be some adjustments made. This run defense has been pretty good so far. Now, I understand that Lamar Jackson has been passing much better from the pocket, and I think that I didn't get my home run single for Bregman. Just a single.
He can still get up again.
What a loser.
But one of the things
I think he's going to get another at bat.
One of the things I think that I would look at here from a prop standpoint is Joe Mixon on receptions. And so here's one of the things that you can do to neutralize guys if they want to blitz you all the time, which is what the Ravens want to do. And that is utilize your backs out of the backfield on screens, on drop-offs and dumps and different little things like that. Joe Mixon hasn't been a huge receiving target over the course of the season. Then out of nowhere last week, they got him really involved in the pass game. He had 5 catches last week in that game, and I think that they really started to scheme some of these backs out of the backfield catches for him, and it wasn't just like one of those things where it was like it was a last resort. You know, I think they were actually scheming and trying to get the ball into Joe Mixon's hands. Listen, if this thing gets to 7, I haven't played it yet. If this thing gets to a full touchdown, I will be on Cincinnati's side. I'll fully admit. If it gets to a full touchdown, I don't think they're going to get blown out here. I mean, I think they could lose. I don't think they're going to get blown out. If it gets to 7, you're going to find me on the Cincinnati.
I'm with you. I've been waiting for it all week, but I'm with you.
Those are all the morning games. Just 6
and
of
you
them.
Win.
Alvarez,
you
deep,
win.
And gone. No, not.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Prove your fighting spirit this football season in the Modelo Giant Fantasy Challenge. Play for free in this 3-part contest series for your shot at up to $9,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/giantprediction to get in on the action. Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Must be 21 and older. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Our man Kelly Bidlin's beer of choice here in Las Vegas.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. My beer of choice in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
The only thing that will you just drink it however they bring it to you, or do you peel the foil from around the lip of it? You know, because it comes with a gold foil on.
Well, yeah, there's a. I mean, I don't.
Will you get, make sure that the?
I don't
want to
get too
not,
complicated here, but if you're going to drink it at home, I buy cans. You don't buy bottles at home. You buy cans because it's if you drink, you know, plenty, you want less weight to carry to the garbage can, right?
Wow, it's very scientific.
Hold on a second.
Bottles weigh more. I buy cans at home. If I'm out, then yeah, then however they bring it. I don't
really
care.
You so if there's a lot of foil left around the neck, you'll just drink it.
Yeah, I'll just drink it. Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I won't do that. So it comes with that gold foil on top of it. And like sometimes it'll get on the mouthpiece.
Oh, you don't want that.
I don't want that. Yeah, I don't want that.
I don't mind a little tin in my drink sometimes.
I got to take the foil off. Yeah. I got to take the foil off. I can't do it. Kelly just drink it out and bring it to him.
Have you ever bitten a tin foil?
If you see Kelly bittling out, you just bring him a Modelo Especial. I want the foil all over the thing. Just as much foil
I'll gladly accept.
Yes.
Kelly don't care about no foil.
He don't care about no foil.
Yordan Alvarez, we were getting really excited into the break. Yordan Alvarez went warning track. He's credited with a double, an RBI double. He knocked in Alex Bregman, 1-0 Astros, but it hit the heel of Kike's glove. Should have been an out, but Kike could not squeeze it. And so 1-0 Astros as we head to the second now with J.D. Martinez at the plate now, taking his hacks. Is J.D. Martinez at the plate? Taking his hacks against Garcia. I believe it is. I don't know. I see Martinez. Maybe it's not. Yeah, I believe it is. Okay. Sorry. Yes, J.D. Now we go back to the National Football League. By the way, what I was saying also, because of the six byes, so we're only with 13 games this week to begin with, and you have your Thursday, you have your Sunday night, you have your Monday night, only six games in that early window. So you get to actually pay attention to more
games. Isn't that
games.
Nice?
Yes.
I have a TV for each game.
There you go.
Mm.
Only six.
It's going to be fantastic.
Mm. I got a TV for each
game. I'm just saying, I don't have to do the little four box on one of the TVs. I got one for each game.
I'm Matt Brown.
Maybe I'll take in some baseball. All right. Early window of the late, if you know what I mean. 405 Eastern, 105 Pacific. Eagles at the Raiders right here at Allegiant in Las Vegas.
We've got across the board right now 2.5s. There are actually that's not true. This is not across the board at all. This is a pretty big difference. So if you are depending on which side you want to play,
Eagles teaser territory.
There are ample 2.5s and ample 3s available out there. So however you want to play this, be sure and shop around. 48.5 and 49 on the total here. From an injury standpoint, yeah, I don't know about the move. I mean, the movement certainly not from an injury news deal. So I don't know why this
there,
went.
There
in
is
favor.
A couple. I mean, this might just be a Vegas thing, but there's a couple shops here in Vegas that we're. No, we're going the other way. I don't know what it is. You're right. There's no injury thing.
Yeah. So Eagles. Anthony Harris is questionable starter for them, but that's it. And if anything, you got a bunch of really good news here for the Eagles. So Lane Johnson is back for this team. And what that allows is not only is he one of the better offensive linemen there is in the NFL anyway, but that allows Jordan Mailata to move back to his normal side of the offensive line, which makes that much, much better because he has even come out and said he feels much more comfortable on the left side than he does the right side. So now you have one of the better offensive linemen back, and then you have one of the really good offensive linemen in the league moving back to his natural position. Then you get Dallas Goedert back as well on the Eagles side of things here. So I don't get the movement in favor of the Raiders at all. Because again, if anything, it's really good news for the Eagles. On the Raiders, clean injury report, quite literally nobody that's listed as out or anything like that for the Raiders. So we saw last week Raiders come out, and I don't know if it was a good thing. Maybe John Gruden had lost his edge. You know, I mean, because this team looked much more explosive in the play calling.
I think they're loose, man. I think they're so happy. They won't say it publicly necessarily, but I think they're so happy to be sort of gone of the pressure.
Yeah, because I mean the offense just in general though, like it just. It looked like it was flowing better. It looked like they were much more. It looked like they were even, dare I say, more innovative. That they were doing some interesting things out there and all that. Like I was actually fairly impressed with what I saw going on there. But the real big thing here is their defense is predicated on getting pressure on the quarterback because they can't cover at all. Like I mean, the secondary is absolutely terrible. And so what you're getting here is with the return of Lane Johnson. A fully healthy Philadelphia offensive line heading into the season was, according to several of the sites that rank all this stuff as we head into the season, this was supposed to be like a top six offensive line in the NFL. It just, you know, didn't pan out that way. They were dealing with injuries. Peters was away from football, all the different stuff like that. But now you have that full iteration of this offensive line that everyone thought was going to be one of the better offensive lines there is out there. So you now look at the Raiders who never blitz. They are dead last in blitz rate in the NFL. So you're asking now that front four to try to get pressure on Jalen Hurts with one of the better offensive lines in all of the NFL. And like, that's probably not going to happen. That's like likely not to happen, at least not to happen very often anyway. So now what do? Do you start blitzing, which is not really how you play defense? Well, that's how defenses get in trouble a lot of times whenever they start doing things that they're not used to doing. And even if you do that, then now you bring the extra defenders, you don't get home, and now you have a mobile quarterback like Jalen Hurts who can actually hurt you with his feet as well. So I think this is a weirdly kind of bad matchup for the Raiders in this thing. And listen, I'm not high on the Eagles long term, and I'm certainly not high on the Eagles in the division or kind of anything like that, but I think this is a uniquely bad position for this Raiders defense just in general. And look, you're giving me two teams that if I'm rating them out, look, they're going to fall. We kind of do like we just were talking about. If we power rank these teams all the way out, these teams are going to fall within two or three of each other, right?
Yeah.
And you're giving me a field goal with this one team that's getting more healthy and should have us a full-strength offensive line, getting Dallas Goedert back, et cetera, et cetera. I'll take the points with the Eagles here.
There's a litany of stats through the years also with the Eagles that when Lane Johnson plays, they are a markedly better football team over the years. And so you always have to check the injury report for him. He is in this one. And I don't hate your play here. I think you might be right. Here's the thing. Of the afternoon games, it's the only one that's lined anything shorter than 12.5.
Crazy. Yeah, I would lean that way, too. No play for me right now, but I definitely lean Eagles over Raiders.
And here comes the parade of the big favorites. Lions at Rams, also 4:05 Eastern, 1:05 Pacific. The Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford revenge spot.
Yes, this is our revenge game number one. We got another revenge game coming up. This is revenge game number one. From the injury side of things, Trey Flowers, linebacker for the Lions, questionable. TJ Hockenson, tight end, questionable. And then you also have DeAndre Swift, questionable as well for the Lions. On the Rams side of things, as usual, only one guy listed as questionable, Sony Michel. This team has run so pure from an injury standpoint this season. We had the preseason injury, obviously, which was terrible, but once the season got going, they have run so incredibly pure. Only Sony Michel, who is the backup running back anyway, Daryl Henderson is back and healthy, and so he's the only guy listed as questionable for this one. This comes down to how much do you think the Rams are going to keep their foot on the gas? Every single metric favors them, and I honestly, like every single metric, every single offensive metric, every single defensive metric, every single everything favors the Rams in this game. There's not one single thing that the Lions do better than the Rams so far through 6 weeks of the season. Not one single thing in football that they do better. So do you believe that Sean Payton, like me, is going to make Jared Goff go back to L.A. and cry tears of sadness on the sideline? Not tears of joy. Tears of sadness on the sideline. Show him who's boss. Show him why they shipped him out of town, why they brought Matthew Stafford to town, and absolutely embarrass this Lions team? Or do you think, no, he's a kind, gentle soul who doesn't want Jared Goff?
You really are all about the Sean McVay wants to show up.
Honestly, what
else is there in this? I mean, it's like a far superior team who is literally one of the top three power ranked teams in all the NFL, who we think has a legitimate Super Bowl contender like shot against a team that is legitimately a bottom three team. So there's no handicap here. It's like this team is going to beat this other team badly. It's just how badly do they want to beat them is really all.
This game I can't see how you'd make a bet on the Lions. I'm with you.
Where do you think you'll be during the afternoon window? Do you think you'll be watching all of these games if they become the blowouts that they're supposed to be? This and the two games that follow. It's going to be a tough watch.
TBD, Gil.
TBD. Yeah.
This might be a... Kelly, is this a golfing Sunday? Is this like, you know, a little afternoon tea time?
Oh, this is definitely the weekend. Like, if you need to go play or do something, yeah, get out there this weekend.
Yeah,
college football's not even that great either.
Like that afternoon window. Probably don't need to sweat the games too much. You can just kind of like look down at your phone every now and then.
Texans Cardinals, rather. Bears Bucks. Next, VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. You kind of want to do that, Kelly? Play Sports Betting National Championship? Is a little part of you want to participate in
that? Yeah, of course. But,
even though we
can't.
Ineligible.
We are ineligible, yeah.
Do they confine it to certain sports. Didn't Johnny say that?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean,
I know part of the reason for the date, the choosing of the date, was to get more sports involved.
Yeah.
But I don't really know.
Okay.
I mean, you're right. The DraftKings menu is so big. Like, yeah, maybe they don't want, like, cricket involved or something like that.
I got the sense that you couldn't play some rogue golf tournament, for instance, or tennis or something like that.
Right. Yeah, it might just be, like, the big four sports or something like that.
The big four.
Which is how they should do it, because if not, then it's like, if you're betting stuff that's happening in the middle of the night, then it's not. People don't know. Yeah.
You could be a Ukrainian soccer expert, and who knows? Clean up in the middle of the night.
What was ours last year?
Ours, you could bet on anything. Which is how... Which is how Rufus got up there, because he bet on one of those weird golf tournaments in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, that happened in the middle. Like, we woke up and he had shot up the leaderboard.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so that's
a smart way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's kind of one of the other things. So it's like, no.
Oh.
He pimped it as if he really got it, and he did not.
We're going to the third inning, 1-0. Astros. Possible closeout game.
This week is the stink.
It is the stink.
It is.
Final two afternoon games. These are 4:25 Eastern, 1:25 Pacific starts. We will do this Sunday night and Monday night games because these are the stink. Texans at Cardinals, biggest spread of the year in the National Football League. 18 in the contest. It was 18.5.
Here's our other revenge game, guys. DeAndre Hopkins revenge game.
Yes.
So, revenge spot. Here.
I'm more likely to believe the DeAndre Hopkins revenge than I am what you were trying to get at with McVay.
Or J.J. Watt.
I mean,
he did not leave that. He left that organization on very bad terms. Yeah. I'm sure he would like to rub that in.
Double revenge spot here for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't even think about it. You know what? I didn't put that into my handicapping of this one, guys. Double revenge spot. For the 18-point favorite.
can't play it now.
Yeah. So Justin Britt, center for the Texans, is questionable. And Jaleel Johnson, defensive tackle, is out for them. On the Cardinals side of things, fairly good injury report for those guys. Jordan Hicks, linebacker, is questionable. And then you do have Rashard Lawrence, backup defensive tackle for them, who is out. But pretty good injury report for those guys. Again, DeAndre Hopkins always seems like he's battling something. No injury designation at all. Kelvin Beachum, an offensive tackle for them. This is pretty good for the Cardinals as well. Guy's been on the injury report basically every week the whole season. He's now off of the injury report, and I think most notable here on the injury report is no Kyler Murray yet again. So whatever we were hearing about that shoulder, maybe it was a little bit blown out of proportion a little bit with that shoulder, because at least last year they did put him on the injury report during all that time that the shoulder stuff was going on. So if you take a look at this one, guys, I mean, look, it's what do we do with this as well? This is one of those, seriously, do you handicap this in the how the Cardinals do have at least a little bit of motivation, I think, to take the foot off of the gas, right? And maybe I'm just reading too much into this, but you've got J.J. Watt on the team who has not been the epitome of health over the last 3 years.
Yep.
You've got Chandler Jones on the team who's battled injuries of his own, missed all of last year with injuries. If there is even a little tiny nagging thing going on with the shoulder with Kyler, at the first moment that you can, you're going to want to get him out of there as well. So I do believe with a team like the Cardinals, if you look at some of the key players out there in a Chandler Jones, in a J.J. Watt, in a Kyler Murray, if this DeAndre, I mean, they say DeAndre Hopkins battles some sort of something all year long, right? I mean, if there's anything that's like bothering him, like does he hit the sideline pretty quick? Because again, this Cardinals team now, it's no joke anymore, right? I mean, this is no longer like, man, I hope we make the playoffs. This is a let's go win the division. Let's go win the, you know, let's go win the conference. Let's go win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the aspiration of this team now. And so I cannot imagine you see any of those guys playing in a 24-27 point game. And does that leave the back door open for a really, really poor, pathetic Texans team? I think it probably does, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing. That's why I can't back the Cardinals. You're like 18 points, 18 and a half points in an NFL game. I don't know if we had one that big last year. I don't think we did.
No, the Rams were a 17-point favorite at home against the Jets.
Yeah, like I don't think we had one that big last year. It's one of the bigger ones that I can remember.
Wonder how I remember
that. Yeah, you remember that for some reason, Gil? Does that game stick out to you?
Sort of.
I don't remember one this big in a hot minute, actually, even. And so it's just a lot of points in an NFL game. And then again, I keep circling back to this deal where I can't read the minds of what's going on in the coaching staff for Arizona and stuff. But what I can say is J.J. Watt on that defensive line has made a massive, 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 massive difference. When you have to account for him, it frees up these other guys to be able to go and do things. And from a run-stopping standpoint, he's like one of the only guys that can really stop the run on that defensive line as it is. And so you don't want him out there playing meaningless snaps. You don't want Chandler Jones out there playing meaningless snaps. You don't want Kyler Murray dropping back to pass on a snap when you're up 27 points in a late in a third or early fourth quarter. Like, you don't want that, you know? I mean, like, that can derail a season very, very quickly for no reason. So for all of that, I have to be honest, like, if I were to play this game, I would play the Texans. I'm not even kidding. Like, if I were playing this game, I would play the Texans side.
Wonder if it comes up in our Circa Million bartering.
I think it will. A quick Google search will find that this is the largest point spread in the NFL since week 8 of 2020.
There you go.
The Chiefs hosting the Jets were 20.5 point favorites.
Really?
Last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds familiar.
That sounds familiar, but
Chiefs did not cover that?
They did.
They did.
Final score 35-9.
Jeez. You know, I remember anything from like 1987, but last year, can't
recall. I don't remember that game.
You want to know why? Yeah, because every time we got to a Jets game, all we did was say, yeah, survivor play. Survivor play. Bet against the Jets. But we didn't. Well, there was no analysis because they were so bad.
So bad.
There was just no analysis whatsoever.
All right, Bears at Buccaneers, the last afternoon game. Buccaneers favored by 12. There is a pretty robust injury report here for both.
Yeah, this one's not all that great, actually, from a Bucs standpoint. And kind of I think it was one of those everyone thought like, oh, veteran day, veteran day, veteran day, veteran day. And then the injury report came out, and then Antonio Brown is out. Like, he's not going to play in this game. So Antonio Brown's out. Rob Gronkowski's out. Lavonte David is out. We knew Richard Sherman was going to be out as well. And then you've got Jason Pierre-Paul and O.J. Howard, who are both questionable for this one. Jimmy Graham got moved to the COVID list. And then you've got Allen Robinson, Khalil Mack, and Akeem Hicks, who are all listed as questionable for the Bears. And so, yeah, both sides not great. Like, both sides are definitely not great from an injury standpoint. I mean, if Allen Robinson can't go, that is just, I mean, that's horrible for this Bears
team. Matt, correct me if I'm wrong. From what I read today, it sounded like he is truly questionable, if not on the downside of it. Keem Hicks, Khalil Mack should be good to go.
I think from what I gathered, it's like the true game time decision thing for Allen Robinson. Like you hear that so often, it's not really the case, but like true game time decision for Allen Robinson in this game. So what we're looking at here.
Oh, the Wizards are on an 11-0 run over the past minute and 22 seconds. That's real cool, Pacers. Let's go.
You've still got a quarter and 2 minutes. Yeah. You're fine.
Everybody makes a run in the end.
It was like tied 20 seconds ago, though, and I looked over. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but okay, Davisa cool. Bertan must have done something.
Yeah.
You still have Sabonis. It's fine. So there are, and so this is why we always say, hey, have multiple outs, and hey, shop around. There's everything from 11 to 13 on this game available right now.
Yeah.
In the various books around the country. So this is definitely one of the, hey, shop around. There are tons of different numbers out here. Here's the thing. They still have Mike Evans. They still have Chris Godwin.
And they still have Tom Brady.
So they're going to win the game. Do you want to lay the 12? I don't think I do at this point with all the injuries and stuff and things like that. So
I did a weird teaser with them down to, I mean, I got a bad number at this point. It was 12.5, so I teased it down to 6.5 with the Packers. Injury report was not great for me today, Matt, but I'm not really that worried about it still.
Look, it's like we said. The one way you attack this Bucs, you cannot run on them at all. They're the best run defense in the league. So with that, you have to pass. Justin Fields, maybe without Allen Robinson, like, good luck. You know, good luck.
If Justin Fields beats me, he beats me. I'll take it.
Tip of the cap. Yeah. So be it. You didn't get DeVisa Bertans. You got Raul Neto'd.
Yeah, Bertans has 14.
Yeah. Neto was the one who went on that run there. 103.92 Wizards. We'll update all the scores. We'll do Sunday and Monday Night Football. VSiN's Primetime Action next.